Breaking news,
and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
I am Charles Show Me The Way here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor, and you're listening and watching us live on NFLAmedia.com. That's NFLAlumniMedia.com, where you can catch all our NFL brethren and their podcasts talking about anything and everything about professional sports, albeit whether it's the Tennessee Titans or the Buffalo Bills. You can always catch any and every NFL alumni on NFLAmedia.com. We are happy to be here again. If you're a Jets fan, if you're a Giants fan like Billy and I, it's a sad day in Giantsville because we didn't look too great. Obviously, Tyrod Taylor got hurt, went down, and DeVito, the New Jersey, hopefully when he came in the game, I was thinking he was going to be the New Jersey savior, the next coming of Tom Brady. And all of a sudden, it was a dud because he only threw two passes the entire time he was in the game. BT, were you as depressed as I was watching two teams just run up and down a foot field in futility? 24 punts in the entire game. The Jets didn't convert a third down until the fourth quarter when they actually came back and won the game. So what say you?
Well, see, I thought that the Jets were not up for the game. And then I was worried because the Giants had a few injuries, you know, themselves. But I thought if they gave the ball to Saquon Barkley, they had a chance to win. So the question is, did the Giants lose or did the Jets really win? Because I felt that the Giants were the better team on that day. I watched everything about the game, and I was just, like I said, it was one of those games where, you know, you felt embarrassed to kind of be a member of the Giants because they looked like one of the worst teams in all the NFL. And the Carolina Panthers won their first game last week. So I don't know what to say, but DeVito, that shocked me because I watched him all preseason. He played a lot and threw some nice balls. So that means that Brian Daboll did not have any type of faith in him or confidence. And that's why he wouldn't let him do that. As a matter of fact, during the course of the game, Charles, the fans were chanting, "Let him throw, let him throw." I've never heard that before.
I know. And you could see how the Jets weren't even playing the pass. They were keeping eight men in the box, sometimes nine men in the box. You knew they were going man to man. He was very predictable when he did go out and pass. He almost had one pass pick off because it was just a flat route. And the Jets almost picked the pass off. So I think they were trying to protect DeVito. But like you, in the preseason, he threw the ball really well, had some nice balls. It found the receivers. He was probably more productive in the preseason than Tyrod Taylor was in the preseason when they played. And so that's why when he came in the game, I was telling my wife, I was like, man, this is going to be the next coming of Tom Brady. He looked good during the preseason. They're going to let this guy throw, and he was going to be the Giants' savior. And all of a sudden, he threw one pass and didn't throw for the rest of the game until he had to. And so that was pretty disappointing.
Yeah, it was. But, you know, coaches look at practice more than we do. And I think that he had to know something in practice. But then, you know, with Danny getting hurt and Taylor coming in, they had to give Taylor most of the reps in practice.
Yeah.
But then it goes back to showing me that, you know, even though I don't like preseason and stuff, it's really needed for the players to get their to get in their groove. And I think they're just now beginning to get in their groove, a lot of teams around the NFL. So I don't know what to say because I know preseason is worried about injuries, but that's how you get people over those things where, you know, they could have problems later in the season. So I'm from the old school, but then again, I never liked preseason.
Yeah, I think one of the things you can take away from this game from an offensive standpoint is that Saquon looked really good. They were running the ball against a good Jets defense, and he had 125 yards on the ground, which was unexpected. I didn't think he would get that much. And we both said last week that in order for them to win, Saquon would have to have a great game. And he had a great game. I think what failed them was a lack of a quarterback, a lack of trust in the backup quarterback, and Tyrod Taylor getting hurt. But offensively, they did what they had to do. I still don't see, and what do you, I still can't get it. I don't see too many deep balls being thrown.
Well, see, that kind of makes me mad because, you know, that's from the old school too. You throw the deep ball, it stretches the defense. It makes them wonder what's happening next. And I don't understand why you wouldn't do something like that. But so Brian Daboll, I think he's, you know, it's losing affects him. It affects every single coach because that's your livelihood. But some of the mistakes that he made during the game, it's kind of giving me a little confusion here. But I just think that, and I'm worried about Saquon because last year he carried about 35 times, and the next game he wasn't very good. This time he carried about 36 times and hasn't been anybody since 2017 who carried the ball that much. You're talking 5 or 6 years since somebody carried the ball that much. Even Derrick Henry doesn't get it 35 times a game. I mean, 36 is a lot. I think the most I ever carried, I think, was 33, and I couldn't make it the next week. I mean, I did, but I got my behind kicked. So I'm anxious to see how Saquon comes up against the Raiders this week in the Raiders situation.
Come on now. You know old school football. Earl Campbell used to carry the ball 40 times a game and keep rolling. You know, Barry Sanders, if he didn't get the ball 30 times a game, he was bad, right? So we got to go back to old school football. We talk about that every week. Let's go back to old school offense, put a fullback in front, play two tight ends, and let's go. Please try to stop me. And we see a weekend, and we got a lot of teams are doing that. And you know what else is surprising? I don't want to get sidetracked on just how we should go back and revisit old school football. But you know who I was surprised with in that game was the Giants defense. The last 3 weeks, they've improved a great deal. Can you contribute? What are you contributing to the improvement to that defense? Because when they first started out, we were like, man, they need a total overhaul.
Well, Coach Wick has really surprised me because they say he blitzes more than any other defensive coordinator in the league. Now, before, Charles, they were talking about Kayvon Thibodeau. Mm-hmm. And before I go on about him, what did they say about him during the course of the week before this game?
Yeah, he was underperforming.
Yeah. Okay, well, somebody got to him because he looked like the same player. They say he's got 8.5 sacks already this season, and that's really right there, a good season right there. And so somebody must have got to him because he didn't look like the same player, and he may have been the difference in the game.
Yeah, I think another key player on that defense, there are actually three key players on that defense that no one talks about. Dexter Lawrence is earning his contract.
Yep.
He's been dominating up front. I think if you have to focus on one person who's change the defensive line's complexion is mm-hmm. Dexter Lawrence. He's been a menace. He's someone that if you don't double team, he's going to wreak havoc on that defensive line. And we haven't had anybody from an interior lineman standpoint in years that you can say is a Dexter Lawrence, as it could be compared to Dexter Lawrence. For the past 20 years, we had great defensive linemen, but we haven't had a D tackle as dominant as Dexter Lawrence has been the last 3 weeks of the game. The second guy who's been a key factor in all of this turnaround is Okereke. You're hearing his name more than ever the last 3 weeks. And you have to kind of, you wonder what happened. What type of scheme are they running to now make him more of a presence on that defense? And third, someone I wouldn't have even thought about, but the rookie DB.
Yep.
He's been up to the challenge. He's been guarding. Adoree Jackson came back last week, and that may have been to his detriment because he was the one guarding the top receiver every week, week in and week out. And he took on a challenge, and every week he has been getting better. So kudos to the defensive backs, Coach Henderson. He's been doing a great job with those young boys, and hopefully they can continue to improve.
Well, I'm kind of shocked because I thought that they, you know, would not improve upon themselves. But even Jason Pinnock, the safety, I thought he's has really showed his game, and he's a young kid. I love Deontay Banks, the number one draft choice, because he's putting the Giants deep in a position where they can play 10 on 11. They can take a receiver out of the game and let him take care of it. And that's exactly what great defenses do. I like the play of everybody on defense. Even Xavier McDaniel is playing a little better. I just think that if they had any kind of offense, they would have a better record now. The problem is, they say Danny Jones is going to come back this week. They say he could have come back last Sunday. But I just think that, you know, Taylor did a decent job, but DeVito just really hurt my feelings because they didn't trust him. And I thought all the work that he did in the summertime, he should be trusted. But I just hope they don't wear down Saquon Barkley because, you know, he's the bread and butter of the team. But Darren Waller was out, the tight end, and then they had to bring another tight end in.
Bellinger. They only had one tight end. They played with one tight end the entire game.
That's incredible. They may be calling you to play fullback, you know, because I've seen, Charles, and I watched a lot of games, I've seen more fullbacks now in the last couple of weeks, you know, catching the ball, blocking, than I've ever seen probably in 3 or 4 years. So maybe they're coming back to that old school football, because every team that doesn't do well, they got to learn to turn things around. Look at the Giants. They ran the ball a lot last week because they didn't throw the ball. So maybe they needed to, you know, run the ball to keep the defense well rested and do all those things.
Absolutely. And if you think about it, the reason why you go into run and shoot style offense is spread offense is to put more points on the board. But if you look at the points every week, it's the same as they were if you were in a regular offense. You're not scoring every play. At least you're able to control the ball. You don't make too many mistakes. And if you have a decent defense, you're playing to your defense. You're playing field position football, and you giving your team a chance to win. I think one of the key points, and we'll turn to the Jets and see what the situation is with the Jets after this, but the key thing is,
breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bet and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
I think the Giants don't have a tremendous amount of talent. They don't have a lot of depth. And you can see that just like last year, one play can make a big difference and a win or loss. And that's what's happening with the Giants. They've been in games, but one play, one mistake is the difference between a W and an L.
Well, let me ask you this. A lot of people were talking about in the overtime, the Giants took the ball and they should have deferred it to the Jets. But see, the reason I didn't mind is because if you have one chance from an offensive standpoint, you need to do it first. But they said because the Giants defense was playing well and the Jets defense was playing well, the Giants would take the ball. But a lot of people think they should have kicked off to the Jets in overtime because there was no offense doing anything and they had a chance to get better field position. Your thoughts, CW?
Yeah, I think that especially given you weren't trusting your backup quarterback, DeVito, I think all of that would have played into it. And yeah, I would have probably played that field position football, kicked it off and let the Jets, who weren't doing anything as well, let them have the ball on offense first. But, you know, hindsight is 30-30. Those decisions that ball, like I said, those decisions that ball was making last year were coming through. This year, they're not. The margin of error when you don't have a great team across the board is very small, and you're inches away from a win and a loss. And I think that's what's impacted Giants this year, is that last year's decisions were positive, where this year's decisions are negative, and it's having a bad effect on Dabble. But you're listening to The Expressway with Charles Show Me The Way here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor, on NFLAlumniMedia.com or NFLAmedia.com. We just finished one quarter. We will be back to kind of give you our impression of what the Jets look like for the next week and if they can make the playoffs, as well as a lot of news going around the NFL, a lot of free agent stuff, a lot of trades yesterday. Leonard Williams got traded. We'll get back to you and talk about all of that stuff and more in a moment. Welcome back to the Expressway. I'm Charles. Show me the way here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor. We just finished talking about breaking down the Giants side of the Jets-Giants football game. Now we're going to briefly touch on the Jets side of the ball. Billy, the Jets offense, this was probably the worst that offense have looked for three quarters that I've seen the offense look in a long time. It wasn't until the fourth quarter that they started looking like a team that was halfway competent on offense. Defense was solid. They made plays, and they made plays when they had to. And that's, I think, it's like a total role reversal of seasons, because this is the type of season the Giants had last year, right? They won games like this last year, whereas now they're losing games. And I think if the Jets can just hold on and win four more games, they may actually make the playoffs.
Well, see, the thing that I've liked is, and from the very beginning, their defense is outstanding. I mean, they really are. They played to the ball. They got a lot of people hustling to the ball, and they got cornerbacks like Sauce, who can shed people out like that. I just don't know about the offense, because if you think about it, they didn't try. They were almost like the Giants and DeVito. They didn't try nothing for three quarters. I mean, you think about it, Zach Wilson. In the beginning of the game, he didn't look good. And I couldn't understand, because if you're going back to old school and you're running the ball and you're controlling the line of scrimmage, that opens up the play action. But play action don't work if you don't run the ball. So I thought that it was a very good effort by both defenses. Just the Jets, they seem like they're talented. And they seem like they should have won the game. But I thought the Giants messed up on their chances. But I just don't think that the Jets' offense is any good. But the thing about it, and you're looking at it too, Aaron Rodgers may come back in 4 or 5 weeks. He said he's off of crutches. He's off of the boot. He's thrown off his back foot. So, this will be the first time in the history that somebody's come back this early. I think he can do it, because modern technology and sports medicine is way above everybody.
Yeah, I don't know if he should come back until actually first of the year, given – The Jets' offensive line is terrible. Zach Wilson was getting killed by the Giants' defense. Dexter Lawrence was in his lap all the time. It's a wonder he didn't go out the game hurt as hard as he was hit throughout the entire game. And obviously, you're relying on Breece Hall. You talk about running the ball 30 times a game. They're probably going to have to give Breece Hall that many carries just so that they can stay in games. I think Dalvin Cook is upset because they're not utilizing him the way he thinks. He requested a trade. He wanted to be traded to a different team. Obviously, they didn't do that. But I don't see how you cannot give Breece Hall the majority of the carries from here on out, because he's your only productive running back.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
That you have outside of anybody.
Well, see, the only thing that I concern myself with, and there's two ways to look at it. First, he had major knee surgery on his knee. He came back you know, probably the way they're doing it now, they're coming back sooner. But I think you should allow him to even acclimate himself to the game. That's why if you put Darren Cook in, a lot of people say, well, Darren Cook is not as good. He probably is not, but he's beginning to run better because he has more confidence in the offense, knows the offense. I think you ought to go to the ground game until Wilson, you know, and then it's almost like if you remember Tim Tebow when he went to the Denver Broncos, they played Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh put 8 to 9 people in the box, so he was able to throw the one-on-one coverage. And I think the Jets had a lot of people in one-on-one situations. They just rely on their receiver Wilson too much. And I hope that he can last because he had a couple of hospital balls that possibly could have put him out.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But they need him. They need him on the field because he's probably their only dynamic receiver.
Yep.
That really is their playmaker. He takes the top off the defense. He's a deep threat.
Great hands.
He's a threat that can make big plays on short part. He's your Jerry Rice, and that's what they need is a guy that can run a slant, can take a slant for 80 yards, and can take the top off and go deep. You can't cover him making catches over DBs all over the place. So I think the one problem Zach Wilson had, and maybe it's a credit to the Giants defense, he didn't target Garrett Wilson enough in the Giants game. He didn't get the ball thrown his way enough. And maybe that's a credit to the Giants defense. They didn't give him a chance. They were probably double teaming him, but I doubt it. I doubt there were a lot of double teams. I just don't think Zach Wilson either had enough time or looked at him enough to give him a chance to catch the ball.
Well, you talked about Dexter Lawrence. They say he had something like 18 or 19 quarterback pressures. And that really kind of upsets the rhythm of a quarterback. But see, I still think that if the Jets have more potential to run the ball and set up the play action than most teams in that situation. I think they need to go fully old-time football because their defense is great, play the percentages. If you have third and long, let them throw the ball away and come back and punt the ball and play the percentages. I think a lot of teams don't do that. And so I think the Jets have a chance. And if they win, as you say, 4 or 5 more games and they're up to 9 wins, because they're already at 4, which I didn't know if they would have at all, they can think about the possibility of Aaron coming back. Because if Aaron comes back, I don't think he'll come back unless he's 100%. I really don't think so. And if he does, you know, it's his problem. But say he gets close to 100%, that means they got a chance for – they can beat anybody because, you know, they've played some great teams already and held them to – low points, they almost beat Kansas City. So I think as time goes by, we're going to see if the Jets continue to improve, at least from a defensive standpoint, from week to week.
Absolutely. And another big story in New York land is Giants trading Leonard Williams. And obviously, I wasn't a big fan. I mean, he was doing okay, but I don't think he was as dominant as we all expected him, given the amount of money that he got on his last contract. And so I think it was a good move. They got a second round pick for him, which we talked about probably every week since the Giants have been losing. Like, we got to start thinking about putting more talent on this team. And by doing that, doing it in a draft. So trying to accumulate draft picks and getting rid of the good assets. And they were able to, I think, get rid of an asset that brought them back a really good pick.
And I thought that it's really going to help their salary situation because he was upwards of $16-18 million in his contract, and he's going to Seattle, which a team that with Geno Smith already has a chance for the playoffs. And I think that he's going to do good there because they need a defensive tackle. I just wanted to see what the Giants are going to do to replace him because the last couple games, he's played better than he has in a while. And I think Dexter Lawrence is a big help there because when you have another partner that's getting off on one side, it kind of motivates you to play better on the other side. I think the linebackers are playing extremely well. I think Wick is throwing a lot of blitzes at people. And that's why if I was Wilson, I would have thrown to the other Wilson, Garrett Wilson, sooner. Because if you think about it, anytime that he has a chance to be in a 50-50 situation, you throw him the ball. And if you play any kind of zone, which sometimes Wick does, sometimes he doesn't, he mixes it up. And the receiver's got to make that choice along with the quarterback very quickly. So I just think that he could have thrown the ball to Wilson more than he did. He could have, I always see if you can dump off. And the quarterback's got to get to the point where the running back is his good friend or the tight end, where mm-hmm. if there's a rush, you need to get somebody out of there.
Yeah. And then another big story is our boy, a New York Giant fan favorite, Antonio Pierce, is the new head coach. Overnight became a new head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. That is a surprise. Antonio Pierce went from defensive coordinator at Arizona State to linebackers coach for the Raiders. Now he's the head coach. I mean, what is going on? Are you surprised that they fired the head coach for the Raiders?
Well, yes, I am, because I thought him being a product of Bill Belichick, that may help him. But you can't use Belichick on the sidelines. There's only one Bill Belichick. The thing about it, he brought in Jimmy G from the 49ers. Jimmy D looks terrible. He should have kept Derek Carr, because Derek Carr had the relationship with the receiver from Green Bay. Now the receiver from Green Bay, he's mad. I mean, he wants to be traded because of the way they're doing things. I think Josh McDaniel has shown me that he does not know what he's doing as a head coach of an NFL team. You wonder about these other young coaches that are out there, why they don't get a chance. Because of the Josh McDaniels. This is his second opportunity that he's failed. He needs to go back crying to Belichick and maybe be the special team coach or something. He's not head coach material.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. That's two chances. A lot of coaches, and we spoke about that or ad nauseum, that a lot of coaches only get one chances. And him, Nathaniel Hackett, got Nathaniel Hackett got three chances to screw up. He got one chance. So he got two chances. And so a lot of these other coaches don't even get two chances. And so I think that's a problem. I think you got to give some of these coaches a chance. The defense coordinator that was at Buffalo, who's now not even that's taking a sabbatical, not even coaching this year. He should be a good candidate for another head coaching position. He had the Minnesota Vikings. He did a good job for a number of years with the Minnesota Vikings, and he hasn't gotten a sniff for a head coaching spot. And so if you're looking for good minority candidates, there are good minority candidates out there. I'm glad Antonio Pierce is getting his shot. Hopefully he can do something to show people that he deserves a shot, at least a good long look. And he's gotten a good long look. He's playing what, nine games? He got nine games to prove he deserves to be a head coach in this league. So I think he's a great motivator. He was a motivator for those Super Bowl teams, and maybe he'll motivate Vegas to go on a little run. Hopefully not this week, because you see they're playing the Giants. It should be like a good homecoming. People will be excited. He'll be seeing a lot of people, friendly faces, when they go out to Vegas this week.
Well, see, what I'm looking for is his enthusiasm on the sideline, because it's hard to go in there in the middle of the season and get your program implemented. It's really tough because, you know, he was a linebacker coach, and then all of a sudden you go from there to the head coach. You're running both sides of the ball. You got to depend on your coaching staff. If they had a good one or not, it's all going to come to the light. The bad thing is that usually in these situations, a lot of people don't succeed because they haven't had time to get things straighter, and they got so many things that they're worried about. But, you know, from a Giants standpoint, I'm definitely in favor of Antonio Pierce. I hope he does a wonderful job, and I hope they bring the Vegas Raiders back to where they were, but not after this week.
That's right. And it's pretty funny. This is vintage Al Davis. I thought, did Al Davis come back down from heaven? Or I don't know where he is, but come back down and come and say, hey, this is what we're going to do. Because this is a vintage Al Davis move. And I think Mark Davis was kind of channeling his dad when he made this move, because only Al would put a former player in a head coaching position.
But the bad thing is he's paying two head coaches. He's playing the other guy that left, Grohl was his name. He's still being paid $10 million a year. And then paying Josh McDaniels. I know McDaniels probably has at least 2 years left on his contract. And that's bad management if you think about it. I mean, look at the money that the NFL is made not making. I understand. But then to make poor choices like this, that's what it comes down to. And I don't know if Mark Davis is a good owner or a good general manager, because he's made so many mistakes putting this team in a hole, and then you're backed up because of the salary situation. And I just think the Raiders are going to be a while before they come back up.
Yeah, it's going to be a while, but it's an exciting story. There's plenty more stories we'll get to when we come back from the break. You're listening to The Expressway with Charles. Show me the way here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor. You're watching us live on NFLmedia.com and checking us out on YouTube every week. Thursday through Friday, you'll catch us on our tape show on YouTube. But we'll be right back with the third quarter. We'll talk some NBA basketball and where is James Harden this week. We'll be right back. To the Expressway, you're listening to Charles Show Me the Way here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor, and you're watching us live on NFLmedia.com or NFLAEmedia.com. Check us out, check our brethren out on NFLAEmedia.com. We got a lot of different podcasts. If you're not feeling the Giants or Jets and you want to feel the Dallas Cowboys, the Philadelphia Eagles, or even the Buffalo Bills, check out NFLAEmedia.com and check out one of our brethren's podcasts. But we are here live every Wednesday from 10:30 to 11:30. Or you can check us out.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
On recording on YouTube, or just come to NFL Alumni Media and just pull up our broadcast, our podcast there as well. We just finished first two quarters talking about Jets, Giants, and all things NFL. Now we're going to turn our attention, as we always do, now that the NBA season has started, we're going to talk some NBA basketball. And the biggest story, two big stories. We got Wembanyama, the French freak instead of the Greek freak, the French freak, 7'2" basketball savant, as everyone wants to call him, and had a great big game against Kevin Durant and the Phoenix Spurs. But I want to turn your attention to the story we've been talking about ad nauseum every week. Where is James Harden this week? James Harden is probably the most traveled NBA superstar, MVP, since James McAdoo, who's traded to so many different teams as an MVP player. And now he was just traded to the LA Clippers, and they have a star-studded team. You're loaded. You got Russell Westbrook.
Yep.
You got
Kyrie Leonard.
Yeah, Kawhi Leonard. Yep. And you got the guard Paul George. And you have Paul George. That's getting too many shots to the head. Short-term memory is gone. Can't remember Paul George. But you got four superstars on that team. They should be a great team, but it's only one basketball. So I don't know how it's going to work. And you know, James Harden told the Houston Rockets that he wants to go back to old James. Give me the ball, and I'm going to score 40 points a game. And I don't think he's going to be trying to hog the ball when you got Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Russell Westbrook. And the bad thing about it is, what is it going to do to Russell Westbrook's game? Russell Westbrook has been playing well these first four games of the season for the Clippers. Does he take a backseat to James Harden? What type of James Harden are they going to get, and do they need to have superstar James Harden?
Now, I've been checking James out from the moment he went to Oklahoma State, till he went to Houston, till he went to Brooklyn, till he went to Philadelphia, and now the LA Clippers. I don't remember anybody except for McAdoo doing that kind of stuff. I don't have any faith in James Harden because he comes out of shape. He's not in great shape. You can see he's got a belly and some stuff hanging out the side. I think in basketball players this day and age, you know, as much money as they're making and as hard as they're playing, they need to be in super shape. He may bring the team down because of his lack of conditioning. But like I said, he's got a great team. If he can just fit in, but don't lose anything from him. And you know yourself, Charles, he's a great regular season player. His problem is the postseason. If they can come get him the rest and get him going in the postseason, and then if he's off on his stuff in the postseason, get him out of there and let Paul George and Leonard do what they're supposed to do. I think the Clippers are very lucky to have him. I don't see how he keeps going to teams that he wants to go to. You know, in the NFL, there's no way we could do that kind of stuff. You'd be playing for some CFL team if you demanded to be traded as many times as he has.
And they're getting max contracts. That's the thing. They can sign a max contract with a team and the next season say, hey, I don't want to be with you. And they still got like 4 or 5 years remaining on their contract and they can't pay $50 million. NBA basketball is something else. It is fantastic if you're an NBA player because I can get paid and then tell you that I don't want to play for you. So that is crazy.
And then you can sit out. You know, say like you hurt your finger. You'll be out for 3 weeks.
That's right. And it is a crazy, crazy, crazy league. But when you look at the one thing that gets me, I think there's a good and a bad thing that came with this trade, especially with the Clippers, is because you know Paul George and Kawhi Leonard stay hurt. Yep. They probably play. They get paid like $50 million. Each of them get paid $50 million. And they play about 30 games a year.
I don't understand.
How much is that? Break it down. $50 million, 30 games. Is that like $5 million a game? I'm like, oh, that's probably the greatest job you could ever have, getting millions just for a game. I mean, that's like that's going into the Taylor Swift land per concert.
Well, see, the thing about it is that the coach of the Spurs, they call him Pops, he's the one who invented load management. You know, when Tim Duncan and Robinson were there, he would give them time off. And other teams have tried to emulate that because at the end of the season, they're much fresher. Yeah. I do believe in that. But then again, if you're a fan and you paid some money to see LeBron James play and LeBron sits out that game, there's nothing you can do about it. So I think it hurts the fans. But they're having a tournament next week, next month. I think it's next month. It might be later this month.
It's the end of this week.
And the NBA is trying something different. What do you think about this idea of the tournament? Because you know it brings a little bit more flair. But then again, I just hope it doesn't wear out people.
Yeah, as long as they keep it within the 82-game schedule, which they are keeping it within the 82-game schedule, it should add some excitement. You're still going – I think it's going to take – after the first couple of games, there's a round robin, everybody plays, and then they're ranked, and then it's a single elimination tournament, so everybody plays somebody, and then after that, they go into the single elimination tournament. It'll be fun. I'm curious to see how these teams perform. I love how they're changing it up. Have you seen the floors that they kind of designed for the tournament? They look pretty good. Some look better than others, but they look pretty good. And so when you turn on the game, at least you're going to know that this is part of the end season tournament and you're going to see a different game. They said the jerseys, the uniforms are going to be different. So I'm excited to see. People thought the play-in tournament was going to be a dud, and it became something that everybody watches now. So hopefully this is something that people watch. I don't think people will watch it until it gets to the elimination part of the tournament, like intensely. But you got some good matchups, i.e. last night with Wemby and Kevin Durant. That was a great matchup. I turned it off. Obviously, it was a West Coast game. I caught the highlights because they were getting blown out by 20. Wemby didn't look dominant. He didn't look good. I saw one block shot. He wasn't doing very much. And he looked so frail out there, right? I'm like, you see Joker. Oh, did you see the kind of tit for tat between Joker and Wemby? So Joker of all people says, I think he puts on Instagram or X, he says, you need to gain some weight. And I think Wimby texted him back, you need to lose some weight.
See, Wimby is a professional already. He didn't come out of college with no background. He played in professional ball in France, where they said the level of play is really high. I like the way he acts. And he's 7'5". He's taller than Robinson of San Antonio and Tim Duncan. He might be one of the tallest two players in the league. There's one that plays for another team who went to BYU. He hurt his knee last year. He's about 7'4.5". But, you know, that big, I just think that the way that Papa's going to bring him along, he is going to be a star, because all he needs is a little bit of weight. He can shoot the three as good as anybody.
That's right.
And I think big people are shooting the three now. If you have a big man that can't shoot the three, I think it hurts your team.
Yeah, I mean, he he's playing – he's not even – I don't even think he's playing power forward. He's playing like a small forward because he's so small. We were just talking before the show. I was saying, what is he going to do against a Joker or an Embiid? Because Embiid, when he's going to be licking his chops, he's like – you, dude, stay as far away from me as possible, because if I see you, I'm going to try to go right through you and put you through the stanchion. He's so small. So I'm a little afraid for him to go against those big centers. Luckily, there aren't a lot of big centers in the league anymore, so he doesn't have to worry about it. But that matchup between Joker and Embiid, the two best centers in the league going up against a small, frail, 7'5" power forward, small forward, whatever you want to call him, it's going to be a show. Like last night, going against Kevin Durant, and Kevin Durant still schooled him. He couldn't keep up with Kevin Durant when, especially with some of the highlights I saw, he couldn't keep up with Kevin Durant in that game. And so he still has a long way to go, but no question he's going to be a superstar in this league.
Well, I definitely think so. It might be a little prejudiced because, you know, I went to school in San Antonio with my dad and mom at season tickets to the Spurs when I was in high school. And I have my one of my good buddies lives down there. He was telling me all the things that are happening. I do agree he needs to lift some weights, but he's stronger than you think. He really is. And at 7'5", being able to shoot the jumper, the way he handles the ball like a guard, I don't see nobody like that. They say he may be better than LeBron James when he came in. I don't know about that because we only played a few games in the season, but the more people play, and if he stays healthy, even this year, he's going to do something for the Spurs because, like I said, the way that he has a game, he's not dependent on a low post game. He's dependent on whatever he has. I love his game because, you know, he's not playing as well as he possibly can play yet because he's still getting acclimated to the Spurs. But I just remember, Charles, we're going to talk about this in a few weeks. And we're going to see, you know, what the answer is, because everything comes to the light.
But is he getting too overhyped? I mean,
LeBron was overhyped. He had him on the cover of Sports Illustrated talking about the chosen one. And he lived up to the hype. That's the thing I like. He lived up to the hype. I think Gwambi will live up to the hype. I do, because I watched him practice. He has great practice habits. He has a great work ethic. For someone 19 has been a pro for a couple of years, and this is his first year in the NBA, he's shown me already more than I thought he would, and probably because I studied him a little bit more because he's from San Antonio, Texas. Mm. But I still think if he performs close to his capabilities, the Spurs are going to be a better team.
Yeah, and as we close out this segment, one question from Western Conference and Eastern Conference. Give me your top three teams of Western Conference and Eastern Conference.
I'm going with Phoenix. And I'm going with the Lakers, and I'm going with, I don't know if I should go with Golden State or not, but I'm going with Denver in the top three. And in the East, I'm going with, I'm going to have to say that Philadelphia could be in it, definitely Milwaukee, and possibly, I think, I don't have a really third one, but.
Boston?
You're right, Boston, because they got the guy that was the number one draft choice to the Knicks. He's 7'3", shooting the ball outside. So, right. It's going to be great. Give me your three.
Yeah, so from the West, obviously Denver, they are still undefeated. I would put Phoenix, but Phoenix, they don't have a bench. They're a little skeptical. L.A., I think L.A. and Golden State are about even. I think Golden State doesn't have the size to keep up with a lot of the good teams. So There are four teams in the West. I think it's a toss-up between L.A. and Golden State. And as far as the Eastern Conference is concerned, Obviously, you got to go with Milwaukee because of what they did in the offseason and gotten Drew Holiday.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
You got Boston. No, I mean Boston with Drew Holiday, but you got Damian Lillard with Milwaukee, and they show what they can do against Philly the first game of the season. And Philly, Tyrese Maxey is coming on to be a superstar. He should probably, if he continues averaging 30 something points a game, he is lined up. If he can keep it going, it's only been four games, but if he can keep it going, he's lined up to be an all-star this year. And that's your dynamic duo, Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey. So you got three good, legitimate teams in the East that has that have a chance to come out.
Before you go to the break, Damon and Giannis, that's one of the best twosomes I've seen in a long time. And I know it's too early to anoint somebody as a champion, but if everything stays cool, they're going to be right in it.
Yeah, you know, I'm putting Damian Lillard in that James Harden category because he hasn't been in too many playoffs in Portland. And so, and when it gets crunch time, I know Giannis can do it, but I don't know if Damian Lillard will be able to do it. And when they lost to the Washington Wizards by like 20 points, they didn't show up one weekend, and they should actually be able to beat all these teams just by just showing up given the ability that they have. So I'm a little skeptical, but we'll see, and I can't wait to talk about it in the weeks ahead. But you're listening to The Expressway with Charles Show Me The Way and the BT Express. Billy Taylor, you're watching us live on NFLAmedia.com. Check us out each and every week on Wednesday at 10:30, 11:30. We'll be right back to wrap things up with our this week's NFL Week 9 picks and let you know who's in the lead so far. We'll be right back in a minute. Oh, there you go. And we're back here. We're looking at the Expressway with the BT Express, Billy Taylor and Charles Show Me The Way. We are going through our picks this week, and I'm ahead 1-0. We went through our picks, and I'm beating BT. I'm ahead by 1 point. And this week, we're going to see if I can get ahead by give me a bigger cushion. This week, as we go through the games, we got the Tennessee Titans, who had a big win last week against the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is a tough game, BT, because the Steelers, you never know what you're going to get. They're going to play strong and hard all the time. But the Titans had a big win last week. I didn't think they were going to win last week, and they won. Derrick Henry, they didn't trade Derrick Henry, so he's still back there. I'm going to go with the Titans. I'm going to go against Tomlin. I'm going to go with the Titans this week.
I'm going to go with Pittsburgh, okay? And so you're going to the Titans and going to Pittsburgh. I just think that Pittsburgh plays better at home. And our second game I have is the Dolphins and the Chiefs. This game is in Germany. Chiefs are favored, but the Dolphins got an offense that's just fun to watch. But I'm going with the Chiefs only because when the Dolphins are not at home, they don't play as well. So I'm going with the Chiefs.
I'm going with Miami. Chiefs are struggling right now a little bit. They've lost two games. So I'm gonna go with Miami on this one. The next game we have is Seattle against the Ravens. I like. I mean, this is tough. You know, I'm not a Lamar Jackson fan, and I always pick against Lamar Jackson, but he looked good last week for some reason. I don't know if he's up and down, But he's sucking me in. I'm going to try to go with the Ravens. I'm going to go to Ravens to beat Seattle this week since they're in Baltimore.
Well, as I said at the beginning, I always say they didn't have any training camp, much of a training camp. So now teams are beginning to round into form. The Ravens are rounding into form. Their quarterback looks good throwing the ball. They got some good receivers. Odell Beckham is a bust. I mean, he's stealing money. That's because, you know, he's hurt worse than people thought he was. But I'm going with the Ravens also because I think they're playing extremely well. Let's go with the Vikings and Atlanta.
So the next game on the video board is the Cardinals and the Browns.
Okay, Cardinals and the Browns. Yeah, I don't like the Cardinals at all, but they're starting their little quarterback this week. He's been out all season. The Browns, the defense is playing extremely well. I'm going with the Browns in a no-brainer.
Yeah, I'm going with the Browns. Kyler Murray is coming back. I'm curious to see if he's upset. They got rid of Dobbs. How about that? Cardinals traded their best asset for a 6th or 7th round pick. The Giants couldn't have gotten Dobbs because they need a backup quarterback. Why not try to go after Dobbs if he's only going to require a 6th or 7th round pick? That's not a bad trade for a quarterback that had actually shown to be pretty good. And I don't know what other people are seeing, but Minnesota picked up Dobbs, which is a good move for them. Maybe he's on a better team. And maybe he will kind of even shine even more given that he's on a better team. The next game is the Buccaneers and the Texans. You know, I'm a Baker Mayfield fan, and I always like to choose the Bucs. But you know, DeMeco Ryans is I'm loving the old day, old school football with a fullback. So I'm always going to go with the Texans if I can. So I'm gonna roll with the Texans this time.
I'm gonna roll with the Texans because they've been on the verge of playing well for a couple of years. And I think even though they had Lovie Smith last year, I thought they progressed. And I just think the new head coach from the 49ers defensive coordinator, he is playing extremely well, and the team has confidence in him. So I'm going with the Texans. So both of us are going with the Texans?
Yep. And then we got the Bears and the Saints. We got Ben's hometown team, Chicago Bears, versus the New Orleans Saints. I think Justin Fields may be back this week. I'm not sure. I think it's still up in the air, but he may be back this week. If Justin Fields is back this week, the Saints had a big win last week. It surprised me. They actually looked good. David Carr was back. No, actually, David Carr did come back for a little bit of that game. And the Saints look good. They're playing in New Orleans. I'm going to go with New Orleans. I'm going to see if they can go on a run.
I'm going to agree with you, go with New Orleans also, because I think their defense is better. And so that's the reason I'm going to do that. Next game.
All right, next game, we got the Vikings and the Falcons. We just talked about this. They just lost their game. So you got two rookie quarterbacks. I don't know. I know Dobbs is an astrophysicist or something, or an engineer, space engineer. And he could pick up a lot of things, but it's only been a few days to learn the offense, and they're going to probably throw him in the game. They're playing in Atlanta. It's going to be tough. The Falcons have been one of those fringe teams where they can be up and down. I'm going to ride the Dobbs train. I like what he did in Arizona. I'm going with the Vikings.
I'm going with Atlanta because the number one draft choice was a running back out of Texas. And he's the reason that their record is positive at this time. They're 4-5 or something like that. I can't remember the exact record, but Atlanta's playing better than they have in a while. And I attribute to that number one draft choice, their running back from Texas. The bad thing is that, you know, the good thing is that when people see this, they're going to realize if you get certain running backs that are superstars, it's going to help your team win. So I'm going with Atlanta.
This is the pity bowl, the Rams versus the Packers. I don't know who I feel more bad for. Do I feel bad for the Rams or do I feel bad for the Packers? But the Rams have shown some type of lightning in a bottle weeks, and Love hasn't really done anything for me with the Green Bay Packers. I think the Green Bay Packers are going to be looking for a quarterback. They've been fortunate to have a backup quarterback for the past few years now to come in and be the man, and finally it doesn't work. The secret recipe doesn't work anymore because I don't think Love is the guy for them. I'm going to go with the Rams this week.
I'm going to agree with you. I'm going with the Rams too. My reason is because Love is not very good. I watched him during the course of a couple games, and he really doesn't have what it takes, you know, because he had so many examples of Rodgers and Brett Favre And he's not taking any of those examples. He's not throwing the ball with any accuracy. He's not making good decisions. I agree with you. They're going to have to get another quarterback.
What's next game is the Commanders versus the Patriots. Commanders just had a wholesale sell-off. They sold their two best defensive linemen, and they're going against the Patriots. I don't think the Commanders have a chance. I'm picking New England all the way.
I'm going New England also because anytime you trade people during the course of the season, it's going to make your locker room go one way or the other. It might make, you know, it might make them people are one-sided for the defense or the offense. And I just think that you can't do this to a team at this point. And they have one more win than the Giants at three, so they still have a chance for the playoffs. So I'm going with the Pats only because Bill Belichick is ready. His team played a little bit better 2 weeks ago, but last week they lost. And the Commanders getting rid of that fire sale, how could you benefit from that?
Yeah. And so Indy and the Panthers, I don't know when Richardson is coming back for Indianapolis. Minshew has actually been playing pretty well, had a bad game last week, lost to New Orleans. Panthers got a surprise win last week, but I don't see how Panthers can win too many more games. I'm going to go with Indianapolis.
I'm going to go with Indianapolis also because the Panthers, they say that their young quarterback from Alabama has a chance to be a great quarterback because they say he's got the intangibles, but so far he does not. So I'm going to go with the Colts on that one. You're going with the Colts also?
Yep, I'm going with the Colts. Now here's the big game, the Cowboys and the Eagles in Philly.
Yep.
And this is a tough game. So, you know, you don't ever want to hop on the Dallas bandwagon, but they've actually been playing really well.
Yes.
They've been playing really good football, i.e. the second half of last week's game where they were running all over the Rams and they let them come back and score three or four touchdowns out of nowhere. So, you know, that old Jerry Jones curse kind of snuck up on them. I just, you know what, for some reason, I just don't know if the Eagles can win this game. Even though it's a rivalry, this is one of the all-time rivalries in the NFC East, Cowboys-Eagles. I'm going to go with the Cowboys. I got a feeling the Eagles are going to lose this game.
I'm going to disagree with you and go with the Eagles because a couple games ago, I was listening to the quarterback of the Eagles and one of their defensive linemen said that they don't want to play well this time of year. They want everything to get better in December as he come down the stretch for the playoffs. So this is the first game in a while. They've had a tough schedule that they've got to step up and play. And this rivalry against the Cowboys at home is going to bring out the best in them. And we'll see if the Eagles are legitimate. I'm going with the Eagles. You're going with the Cowboys.
Yep. And so our final game coming up, Ben. I think we got one more, Ben, right?
No, two more. Bills and Cincinnati, we do that?
Yeah, Bills and Cincinnati. We got the Giants and the Raiders first.
And the Chargers and the Jets.
Yep. I like the Giants. I'm going to go with the Giants. You know I got to go with the Giants. I don't know if the Raiders have anything left given that they just fired their coach and general manager. And that's one of those emotional games where they may be way down. So I'm going to go with the Giants.
The thing that scares me is when they got rid of John Gruden a few years back, they started to win with that new coach. Sometimes a new coach can come in and stir up things and make your team to do it in a positive way. The reason I don't think so, and I'm going with the Giants, is because the Raiders have looked bad all season. They got the wrong quarterback. They don't get the ball to their great receiver. And I just think they got problems that may last a long time. So we're both going with the Giants.
Yep. And then the Bills and the Bengals. The Bengals have looked really, really good the last few weeks.
Yes.
You know, Joe Burrow has been like as what he's built has been an amazing guy, quarterback back there, superstar quarterback. I'm going with Cincinnati. They're playing in Cincinnati. I'm going with Cincinnati.
The bad thing is I agree with you because Cincinnati has played extremely well the last few weeks. And Joe Burrow looks like he's back to 100%. He's not limping. He's taking a chance running the ball. And I think when he's on, Cincinnati's on. And it makes that receiver Chase from LSU look even better. So I just look for be a good game. The Bills have shown me that they've got some problems, but they're playing in Cincinnati. It doesn't matter on the weather. So we're both going with Cincinnati.
And then the last game is the Chargers versus the Jets. You know, I can never pick the Chargers as bad as I would want to. And they're playing in New York. They're traveling across the country to come play the Jets in the cold weather. It's not sunny San Diego. It'll be frigid, maybe even raining on Monday night. I'm going with the Jets.
I'm going with the Jets because I'm sold on their defense. And if they can get the offense to play the percentages and not throw in the double coverage, don't turn the ball over like, you know, you're not supposed to do, I think they got a chance. The Chargers, I don't think they're a great coach. This guy has lost at least six games by one point, and that's coaching, I think. So I think it's different. I'm going to review this real quickly. The Titans, you have the Titans. I got the Pittsburgh Steelers. You have the Dolphins. I got the Chiefs. You have the Vikings. I got the Atlanta. Cardinals, we both have Browns. On the Rams and the Packers, we both have the Rams. The Commanders and the Pats, we both have the Pats. The Bears and the Saints, we both have the Saints. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. The Ravens and the Seahawks, we both have the Seahawks. Texans and the Bucks, we both have the Texans. Panthers and the Colts, we both have the Colts. The Giants and the Raiders, we both go with the Giants. You have the Cowboys, I have the Eagles. We both have Cincinnati. And then we both have the Jets. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. We'll see next week what happens as CW and Billy Taylor try to at least act like we know what's going on. But Charles, great job. NBA season is upon us. We got lots of stuff to talk about. Giants go to the Raiders, Jets go to the Chargers. So great show again, Charles. I got to thank Ben back in the studio. Ben always does a great job with us, taking care of us and making sure we sound really better than we really are. We have to thank Ben for that. But ladies and gentlemen, for the Charles Way, to show me the Charles Way, I'm Billy Taylor of BT Express. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.